ice skate outdoors on the top of the mountain. It's very cool. And it's the site of one of the old 1960 Olympics, so I had a good time. But
yeah, my daughter was up at Lake Placid. She did a fluky thing.
Yep.
She tried out for the bobsled team, and they wanted her. And they made her train while she was in college. They wanted her for the Utah Olympics. And she said, no, I'm not going to give up my scholarship, because almost all the players on the winter team are older. And they give up a lot, and they live with very little, and they live on sponsorship and donations.
Yep.
It's very tough. And so a lot of them are older in their years because they're working, and then the people who they work for sponsor them.
Yeah.
So they can train. But it's really tough. The American teams have always worked on donations and sponsorship.
They're not
salaried like the Europeans. They're salaried.
Yeah, that Lake Placid up there, we went up there a couple years ago in the summer. Very entertaining to watch all that. I'm an Olympic. I'm a winter Olympic freak because I love just watching that.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, they have things going up there all year round, especially in the summer. They had ski jumping. We sat there and watched everybody jumping off the ski jump. In the middle of summer, and then they were practicing.
They're practicing, right? And they also do the bobsledding. Everything.
I did the bobsled.
Yeah, did you have fun?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it. And then I was up in Calgary. I did the luge in Calgary.
Ah, that must have been fun.
That was fun.
Wow.
Spent a whole minute trying to stay on that sled.
Oh, my God. So, by these companies consolidating the name of the game in the industry, they're creating, effectively pricing things, have pricing and branding. Mm-hmm. Season past seasons, they're leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make people to enjoy it, have a package,
So let me ask you this: Did you sense at some time that the quality of service wasn't standard across? And
because you send some people to some resorts and they were happy, and in some places they weren't.
So now, with one operation running it, you're hoping
they gotta get their act together. They're gonna learn from the guy from Sandals. He has a set standard. He's been doing this for a long time, and he's got the same standard for every resort in every country. He doesn't care what you're doing.
Nice, that's pretty cool.
And they're gonna have to do the same thing here because we don't have all inclusive. The United States has very little on all inclusive. They offer meal plans, but they don't offer you a package. And then they're trying to do that. And they're afraid to include the food because everybody's very independent in the restaurant market.
Mm-hmm.
You got all the different chefs. You got all the different criterias. You got all the different. We have so many things to pick from,
Yeah.
When you're in the Caribbean islands, you don't have much to pick from.
Right.
You either like Caribbean jerk or you don't.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Well, that's quite a news item that the ski industry is consolidating. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, well, last year there was late Easter holiday, so there was a drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the weather was turning last year for a lot of places early.
Yep.
And then there was a lot of places that had a lot of snow. It depends. I guess it really is climate change. Look at Camelback and Vernon up there,
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
This is not just a battle for Democrats and Republicans and how they vote on issues. This is a spiritual battle.
Alabama U.S. Senate candidate Republican Roy Moore saying again last night while speaking at a Baptist church in Alabama that he is not going to end his candidacy. That comes as the Republican National Committee has pulled its support for Moore, who continues to deny charges of sexual misconduct with teenage girls decades ago. Vaughn Hilliard reports Republicans in the state of Alabama are still supporting him.
There has been no public outcry here from among the Alabama GOP apparatus. The governor, her last public comments were from 2 days ago when she said that she'd still vote for him.
That election is set for December 12th. Another murder in a Tampa, Florida neighborhood appears to be the work of a serial killer. This time, though, there are witnesses. They saw a man running from the scene in Seminole Heights where a man was shot and killed yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Herbalife. Year after year, the National Institute of Health reports, the average American gains about a pound around the holiday season. It may not seem like much, but over the course of a lifetime, around a pound a year can really add up. According to Dr. John Agwunobi, former Assistant Secretary of Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Chief Health and Nutrition Officer for Herbalife Nutrition, creating opportunities to eat healthy foods during the holidays and limiting candy, sugar-sweetened beverages, and fast food can go a long way to living a healthier and happier life. So, to help satisfy sweet tooth cravings with a tasty, nutritious snack option, this holiday season, Herbalife Nutrition introduced Protein Bites, fun-sized, on-the-go treats with 4 grams of protein and no artificial sweeteners. Remember, the holiday season doesn't have to be a detriment to your health goals. With some simple planning and healthy snacks, you can enjoy the holidays and stay on track for the new year. For more information, visit www.herbalife.com.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health. Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And my topic today is family and mental health. Do the two have anything in common? Well, as a mental health care provider, one of the things that I do first session with someone is I do ask them about their family. It's important. I ask about their mother, their father, their siblings, their current relationships, their children. Sometimes I even ask about aunts and uncles and grandparents and cousins, mainly because mental health, believe it or not, can be inherited, or at least the tendency towards, such as attention deficit, depression, bipolar, anxiety, panic, substance abuse, and alcoholism. Attempted suicide and suicidal ideation, seizure disorders, dementia and Alzheimer's, schizophrenia. My gosh, it's amazing, but we find more and more that what goes on in the family may be hereditary. It's not that it just seems to rub off on. In addition, growing up, our childhood is the foundation for our adult life. And to know what the dysfunctions are, to know what you experienced in your childhood and how that might be affecting you as an adult is also very important. Now, many times families are very uncomfortable in talking about mental health issues or Uncle Joe's alcoholism or the fact that, you know, Grandma tried to commit suicide. We don't really want to talk about those things. We don't want to acknowledge them. We don't want to have the shame because we feel ashamed that there's something, quote unquote, wrong with our family. And so what we learn to do is we learn to keep our family secrets. We have so many sayings. Don't air your dirty laundry. We don't want people to know what's going on in our house. We all know there's a big pink elephant, but we're not talking about it. So the rules of don't talk, don't trust, and don't feel are huge proponents to families with mental health issues. So part of it may be biological in nature, and part of it may be learned. And part of it may be the way you needed to adapt to stay within your family. So it's really important, I'm going to say it from a therapeutic perspective, to find out the history. And that is often what I do. Sometimes it's even asking somebody to bring photos, to talk to somebody, talk to your grandmother, talk to your aunt, talk to your older sibling. Gather information about your family. So that is a lot of what today's topic is about, how our families affect our mental health. And it's more than just saying, you know, mom or dad just, you know, made me crazy. It's more than that. It's also the possibility that things are inherited. So it's not just nurture, it's also nature. So I'm going to take a short commercial break. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, and I will be back to talk about the family's role in our mental health.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I am also a licensed professional counselor with a small practice here in Flemington. And today I'm talking about mental illness and what might cause it to run in families. Does it run in families? Are there some biological predispositions towards mental illness? Or is it just something that happened? Well, I think there are some biological markers towards it. I like to use diabetes as a really good example. My family is, what I'm going to say, it's filled with people with diabetes. It just runs, gallops through my family. And the chances of my becoming diabetic some point in my life are probably high. So that means I have a genetic predisposition towards diabetes. Some people come from families where there's breast cancer. My grandmother had it. My aunts had it. My mother had it. Three of my cousins had it. Chances are I may end up with breast cancer. So there are some genetic markers. In addition, there are some things that I can do to prevent or at least slow down the progress or process of having diabetes or cancer or mental illness for that matter. If I grow up in a family where there's addiction, where there's alcoholism, the chances of my becoming an alcoholic go way up. And again, we have to remember that things like alcoholism and addiction are a disease. Now, there are times that the disease may not be genetic, may not have a genetic marker. That may be that I come from a family where no one is diabetic. Not my grandparents. I don't have any aunts and uncles that have it. However, I've got one family member who lives on sugar and carbohydrates, is extremely overweight, and is now diabetic. So the damage that they've done to their body through their eating behaviors has caused diabetes. The same thing can work with addiction. It may be that there isn't anyone in my family who is an addict or an alcoholic or a gambler or having workaholism or many other components to addiction. But become alcoholic mainly because I've saturated myself so much with alcohol that I've become an alcoholic. So I don't necessarily need to have a genetic marker, but if I do, then my chances of becoming an alcoholic go way up. Or the chances of my being depressed or having anxiety, being bipolar, schizophrenic. And we're finding, especially through schizophrenia, that particular disorder, we're finding runs within a family. Same thing with, we find that with people where there's someone in the family who has committed suicide, who has that deep major depression, that also can run in a family. So it may be hereditary. And it seems that the more we study mental illness, the more we can say, well, yeah, there are definite hereditary components to it. But we don't fully understand that because mental illness may be passed on in family members for different reasons and not just genetics. So if I grow up in a household with a mother who is extremely anxious, I may learn also how to negotiate life through the lens of anxiety. So my mother was afraid of her shadow. I've learned how to be afraid of my shadow. And it may have nothing to do with genetics. There are also studies that show that people who have families with no mental illness can develop mental illness too. And I think that part of that has to do with environmental factors, such as loneliness or stress, work-related issues, broken hearts, trauma. But if you have issues where there are some genetic predisposition towards, and I will say this, they're finding soldiers with post-traumatic stress, who have post-traumatic stress upon their return from the military, are actually beginning to find that chances are they came into the military with post-traumatic stress, that they had some rough things happen to them in their childhood, traumatic events. Maybe they grew up in an alcoholic family. Maybe they were sexually abused. Maybe their parents divorced and it was messy. Maybe they were bullied at school. Maybe they themselves have a genetic predisposition towards. The thing is they go into the military and they come out with post-traumatic stress, because not all soldiers do. So that there's generally a precursor for some to develop post-traumatic stress because they already had some symptoms of it. It's a very interesting thing, because it is what comes first, the chicken or the egg. So I understand, reading a newspaper this weekend, seeing actually something on the news, that the military is actually talking about opening their doors for new recruits who are bipolar, who have trauma, who are alcoholic, who are depressed, who have anxiety, and then letting them become military and put them on the battlefield. It's not a good thing. So in other words, you know, I have a history of lung cancer and emphysema in my family, and the cigarette company is now opening its doors for smoke testers. So we come in and, yeah, I have this predisposition, and I'm going to smoke cigarettes to make sure that your cigarettes are okay, and then I'm going to wonder why I end up with lung cancer. So yes, I do believe that it's important to recognize that mental illness can run in families, and it can be developed too as a way for coping with stress. One of the things that's really important to do is to write and create what is called a genogram. And it's something that most of us therapists have learned how to do. And a genogram is much like a family tree. So I have grandma and grandpa at the top of the genogram. There are specific symbols that are used when doing a genogram. So it's not just writing names. So there's specific symbols in the representation of your family tree. The square shape is masculine or male. The circle is female. A question mark is unknown gender. If you have a square with dotted lines that come down, it's an adopted child. Blue dotted lines. If you have a square with black dotted lines, that's a foster child. If someone is pregnant while you're doing your genogram, it's a triangle. And if someone had a miscarriage, there's an X in the triangle, or an abortion, there's an X in a line, or a death, the person is X'd out. Twins, all of these things are represented. The reason why a genogram can be really important is, it's, again, it's like a family tree, but it's not a family tree. It's finding out about relationship, life situations, and mental health. So in doing a genogram, I find that my father, 8th grade education, World War II Marine, okay, abused as a child, begins to give me a picture, depressed. So when I start looking at that, oh, okay, so that's kind of what happened in my family. It's not just, you know, my father married my mother and they had two kids, and then my mother. Oh, her father was bipolar, alcoholic. My father's father, he was alcoholic. I begin to look at the mental health picture of my family. So that in creating a genogram, I look at family relationships, emotional relationships, medical relationships or medical situations. It might be important to know that while your mother was pregnant with you, that her mother died, or her twin died. It might be important to know that your mother's first pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. That might describe the type of relationship you ended up having with your mother. I don't know why my mother's one of those helicopter mothers. Oh, actually, I had a sibling that was 2 years old and died before I was born. So it begins to create a picture. And you can Google genogram. And it gives you the symbols, and it explains all about how to do this. Because again, it's much more than just a family tree of who married who at what year. You may discover situations where there's addiction, physical illness, mental illness, abortion, suicide, miscarriages, incest, and other trauma. So that when I begin to see this picture, it may give me a much better understanding of who I am. I had no idea so many people in my family were addicts. I had no idea that depression was all over the place, all over the map in my family. I had no idea that I had an aunt that's schizophrenic, a cousin that's schizophrenic. My great-grandfather was schizophrenic. No idea. So when we begin to see patterns and begin to identify repetitive patterns of behavior and emotional issues, we begin to see that there are hereditary tendencies. When I begin to see that, I could start saying, well, I could see, you know, yes, I also am depressed, and my grandparents were depressed, my mother was depressed, and three of my aunts were depressed, and okay. Does that mean I just say, okay, well, I guess I'm depressed, and I go on my unmerry way? Or it gives me information about what I may need to tackle in therapy. The brain is a very interesting organ. It is the only organ in our system, our body system, that can look at itself and that can change itself. So if I have a history of family depression and I myself am depressed, that doesn't mean that I necessarily am going to stay depressed. Or, in the least, I can start learning some coping skills and some strategies on how to be less depressed. I just started with a new client this morning, and I always go through family histories. I'm always interested in, you know, tell me about your mom, your dad, their relationship. What happened to you, your siblings? I want to know. And one of the things that this person said is, well, even though my childhood was really awful and traumatic, it had no effect on me. From my perspective, I think it did. Which is why I ask these questions to my clients when I first see them. The more I learn about family relationships, emotional relationships, and even medical relationships within a family, the better able I am to tailor what my client needs, to tailor the therapy to what they need. It's like going to physical therapy. The more my physical therapist knows what's going on, the better they can tailor their treatment. So that when we create a genogram, we are actually beginning that process of tailoring treatment. The other thing that's interesting is when we do a genogram, it sometimes helps remove shame. As I said earlier, there is a family rule. We don't talk about it. We don't trust other people with the information. And I really don't have any feelings about what happened. So it's the don't talk, don't trust, don't feel method of family survival. But the more information I gather, the more I start talking, trusting other people with the information and sharing it and seeing it, the greater chance of my recovering from it. So we never talk about the fact that Dad was a drunk. We all know about it. We all had to at some point go to the bar and get him home so he didn't spend all his money. We had to listen to Mom and Dad crying and screaming and the violence that took place. We had to hide the whiskey bottle from Dad. We had to hide in the closet. We had to do without We had the broken promises of going to the zoo this weekend, but that never happened. And our house was always in some kind of chaos because projects were never finished. And I grew up listening to the fact that I didn't know anything. I was stupid. I was not going to get anywhere. I was not going to go anywhere. And I find that even for myself, by the time I'm 14, alcohol really helps out. So when I begin to look at these things and talk about them, one of the biggest stumbling blocks, roadblocks, is called shame. And I have all of this baggage that I'm carrying, and I need to put it down and let go of the shame. And when we start talking about what happened in our families, it's part of what happens. Because we begin to realize that we're not alone. That other families have gone through and are going through similar situations. In the past number of weeks, we have been inundated with Hollywood and other politicians, where there has been an extraordinary amount of sexual abuse. Well, chances are someone like Harvey Weinstein was probably sexually abused himself. Not just the fact that he has the power, the authority, the money, the control. He created all of that as a way to survive. Chances are high he himself was sexually abused as a child. Chances are high. One of the best ways to find that out would be someone to sit down with him and do a genogram. Find out about his family history. So often when I'm working with clients, they become sort of aha moments. Wow, I never put that together. Is that where I learned that? Is that how I developed that coping skill? Is that why I drink? Now, again, I'm not going to say that that's strictly the only reason. We have a huge issue around opiate addiction in this country. Does that mean every single person that's addicted to an opioid came from a family where there was addiction? No. But like I said, just because I happen to be an addict and no one else is doesn't mean that it's hereditary in my family. It means that I have just used so much that I've become an addict or an alcoholic. So there are genetic predispositions towards, but not only. So I'm going to take another commercial break, and we'll be back and to talk a little bit more about family and how that affects mental health. I'm Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselors Chat.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail personnel is your staffing solution. located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. I have my master's in counseling. I'm nationally certified as a counselor, and I'm also a licensed professional counselor. I have a small practice here in Flemington. If anyone is interested in finding out more about what I do, you can find me on the web. My webpage address is altarollcounselor.net. That's Altarole, O-R, counselor. Altarole, two L's, counselor, O-R, .net. You can also follow me on Facebook under Counselor's Chat. If you would like to listen to past shows, you can go on to Counselor's Chat and scroll down the show topics and then go on to the Hunterdon County Chamber and hit the coordinating day in their archives. And that would give you past show topics. I would love to have you like me on Counselor's Chat and follow me. That would be fantastic. And if you are interested in seeking some counseling, please give me a call at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899. I work with people struggling with many different issues, from depression, anxiety, addiction, early recovery, family issues, couples counseling, post-traumatic stress, grief and loss, anger management, just to name a few. So if you are interested, again, please give me a call. 908-237-2899. Or if you would just like to make a comment about the show, I would love to hear from you. That would be fantastic also. Maybe you even have a topic that you would like me to talk about. Again, please send me that information along, and I would love to do that. As a counselor, I talk about many different issues, such as today, family issues and mental health. Are they connected? As I was saying, is that yes, there are some evidence that mental health can be hereditary. But that doesn't mean that all mental health issues are hereditary. Even though mental illness may be passed on in family members, it's not just genes. There are environmental factors also, such as loneliness or stressful life events. These things can cause mental illness also. If you do have a history in your family of mental illness and or addiction, you have a higher chance of developing these situations. But that doesn't mean that you will. As I mentioned, doing a genogram is really important. And if you are thinking about starting a family, you might want to talk to a genetics counselor. You might want to do a genogram with your significant other to find out what's going on. You might want to talk about your own drug use or alcohol use or that of your partner. If you're thinking about adopting a child who has a family history of mental illness or addiction, you also might want to speak to a genetics counselor and seek out counseling yourself, because you may find that you've just adopted someone who's got a family history of depression. But it's not all hopeless. There are things that we can do to reduce our risks for mental illness. Even though it may run in families, of course, it doesn't mean that you are going to become mentally ill. If you have a family history of mental illness, it really can help to take care of your own mental health. And that's what I am. I am a mental health care provider. So that quite often my suggestions are about developing and keeping and even healing mental health issues. I generally suggest to my clients to eat well. A good, healthy diet is good for your mental as well as physical health. Sometimes mental illness can get worse if we don't have enough nutrients in our diets. For example, low levels of zinc and vitamin B may be linked to depression. One of the things that I know is that doing your own research in terms of vitamins and minerals can be really useful. So, I have anxiety. What kind of vitamins and minerals may be useful? We are finding that sometimes what happens is particular people don't absorb particular nutrients and as a consequence end up with mental health issues. Sleeping is also really important. It's important for your physical health as well as your mental health. So, if you're not sleeping well, you may want to talk to your general practitioner. I don't necessarily suggest medication because there are many things that you can do. And I think I may have just mentioned this, it seems familiar. You know, taking a warm bath, use lavender, learn about aromatherapies. What is the thing that you do? I just heard that there is something called a blue light for your iPad or your computer to help with, I'm on my computer right before I go to bed. It actually alters the light on your computer so that it doesn't affect your brain to the point where, because believe it or not, light can affect your brain. And when I say light, I don't mean just light, like a light bulb. I mean the color green, the color blue, the color orange. It's a very interesting thing, just a little aside. You know, when we think about human beings in terms of our animalistic connection to nature, at night, we would sit in front of a campfire. We would use candles. color of things were dim, light was yellow, orange. We get up during the day and we see green and blue, the blue sky, the bright white sun, the green trees. These things, these colors actually stimulate awakeness. Important thing to know. So think about what you're doing before you go to sleep. Learn some ways to cope with stress. Many of us have a great deal of stress, and stress has a huge impact on mental health. So if I'm in a family where I've got several young children, I work, my husband works, and I've got an elderly parent, the stress is extraordinary. And that stress may lead to depression. It may lead to anxiety. So the more you're able to cope with stress and limit the effects of stress, the healthier you're going to be physically and emotionally. So learning how to let things go can be really important. Making sure that you give yourself some downtime to relax is really important. The use of drugs, using alcohol or drugs, can cause mental illness, especially if you become addicted. Using drugs and alcohol to deal with stress or other problems generally does not work. It often adds stress. If I've seen that's how my parents dealt with stress, I may be doing the same thing. And if you hear this grinding noise in the background, that's because a leaf truck is picking up leaves on Main Street. So I know I'm hearing it pretty loud. So I'm hoping that if you happen to hear it, I'm just letting you know that's what's going on. So the thing is that if you are worried about having some mental health issues, it's really important not to use drugs and alcohol, and that you go talk to a mental health care provider or even your GP, who hopefully will suggest that you go speak to a mental health care provider. Getting exercise can also help improve your mood. It can help you feel better about yourself. Quite often, being in therapy, a good therapist will say, let's look at your diet. Are you getting exercise? Tell me about your sleep patterns. How are you handling stress? Are you using too much alcohol or other drugs in your life? And of course, the family history. So, talking to someone like myself can be immensely useful. Going to a counselor means you're talking to someone who is objective. Sure, I can get together with my brother and talk about mom, dad, or whoever, but that's not therapy. That may be support. It may be just commiserating. So talking to a professional counselor can be a huge benefit. Here's the thing. I only know what I know. I only know what I'm taught. I only know what I see. So if I have a particular situation in my family and that's what I was taught and that's what I now believe, that's how I function. Little story. A cousin, when I was a kid, came over the house. My mother was making breakfast. Said to him, How many slices of bacon do you want? One or two? And we said, oh, two. I usually get two. So my mother gave him two slices of bacon. He looked at the bacon. He said, what is this? My mother said, two slices. And he said, they're awfully long. My mother said, what do you mean? He says, well, usually I get two pieces that are half this. Come to find out that two pieces of bacon in his family actually was one piece cut in half. He didn't know that. He didn't know that a regular slice of bacon was, I don't know, 7 or 8 inches. He thought it was 2 or 3 inches. He only knew what he knew. So, when we begin to explore our families, and we begin to listen to someone and talk to someone who has a different perspective and who is objective, we can begin to see that, oh my gosh, you know what? That particular situation in my family, that's what I was taught about the world. It doesn't work for me. It's causing stress. It's causing depression. I have a picture that I show clients on my iPad. This picture of this adult screaming at a child. The child is crying, and all these words, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're a brat, are coming out of the mother's mouth into the child's head. I only know what I'm taught. So, when I look at my family background, my family history, I may realize that I was taught to think a particular way. I use this also. If I grow up in a house with funhouse mirrors, the only way I ever saw myself was in a funhouse mirror. And now I'm an adult. I'm going to go buy mirrors for my place. I go and I see a mirror. It's a regular flat mirror, not a funhouse mirror. I'm not going to buy that. I'm going to buy the funhouse mirror because that's how I look. The flat mirror is the funhouse mirror. That's the one that's really weird. Until someone then says to me, wait a minute, you actually grew up in a family with funhouse mirrors. That's not healthy. This is what's healthy.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today in Sacramento, California, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that the Department of Justice will be suing the state of California, this over California's sanctuary city policies. The lawsuit filed in federal district court in Sacramento says the laws not only trample on the federal government's powers to set a national immigration policy, but endanger communities by freeing criminals back onto the streets. The Attorney General spoke today at the Alliance of California Law Enforcement in Sacramento.
ICE agents are federal law enforcement officers carrying out federal law. California cannot forbid them or obstruct them in doing their jobs.
The White House brushed off concerns today over the resignation of President Donald Trump's chief economic advisor, Gary Cohen. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said Cohen always planned on leaving after tax reform was complete. This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. But tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747. That's the word RECOVER to 474747. And a caring Watershed treatment professional will help you make your change. Do it now. Just text the word RECOVER to 474747 or visit us at thewatershed.com.
Nearly a half a million people will be heading to Austin, Texas this week for the annual South by Southwest Conference and Festival. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has a preview.